Well, I am privileged to introduce our special speaker this morning, and I'm going to ask Ed Berry Jr. to go ahead and come up front here. He's sitting next to his lovely wife, Emily, and let's give her a big hand as well as Ed comes on up here. Their big news is Emily is pregnant with their first child, and so they've got a growing family this year. So do put her on your prayer list. That would be great. And but I've known of Ed for quite a number of years, and the Lord is using him in the business world. Just a few years ago, Forbes magazine wanted to recognize 30 young leaders who were under 30 for innovation and for success. And Ed Berry Jr. was listed in that 30 in that Forbes magazine. And God has used him as a sports agent for Creatus Artists Agency. And he has just been very fruitful in his work with Aaron Rodgers being his agent. And so at the same time, Ed's heart for ministry and in preaching the word continues to grow despite increase in blessings in the business world. I like that. That means there's a grace on him not to be distracted by how God is blessing him in one realm and he's able to grow and increase in the other. He preaches in prisons and men's ministry, men's groups, churches, as God opens those doors. And so when I've asked him to come back and preach, he preached here this summer, I knew I was asking a preacher, you know, and that has God's hand on him to bring the word of God to us. And so as I pray for him, let's open up our hearts to the Spirit of God and what he has for us today. Lord Jesus, we are just grateful for this connection with Ed and Emily and our dear friends and with the Berry family at Henry Christian Church, our partner church in many ways, and linked in prayer and trust with each other. Lord, we bless their services this morning. They're in today as they start 2021 at Henry Christian Church. Lord, today here, Lord God, our ears are open. We are wanting the Spirit of God to speak to us that as we enter this year, that we know that we're in step with you. Lord God, we ask that you anoint Ed and what he shares, but Lord, anoint our ears and heart on what we hear, that we hear what you want us to apply to our life today and this week. So Lord, all glory goes to you in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen. 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 Thank you, Pastor. I appreciate it. Thank you. Oh, man, I'm super excited to be back. I'm you know, first and foremost, so blessed and honored and just humbled that you guys would have me back, that you'd bring me back home, that you'd have me back here this morning to preach, teach, and share with you. I just want to give a special thanks to Pastor Stephen and his family. It really meant a lot that he called and asked me to come back and to share another message with you. I guess that I didn't mess it up too bad the last time that I was here. It was good enough to be able to come back. I think about the last time that I was here, Brother Jody, just the sweetest, most kind letter that he wrote me right before I took the platform. I'll read it to you. Ed, I'm going to try to receive from you today, brother. It might be hard because I'm still struggling that Randall Cobb isn't a part of my Cowboys. What a just a blessing note that he sent me up here. I'm just so thankful for him. Thank you, brother. Thanks for encouraging me with that note. I hope that you're able to get something today as your Cowboys play for the playoffs. Huh. Isn't it hard to believe that it's been over 6 months since I was last up here? It as much as it feels like it was a decade ago, at the same time as I was preparing for this week, it felt like it was yesterday. It really felt like I was just up here sharing with you guys, and even more mind blowing that I'm still living with my parents right now. God bless me God bless my wife. It's still mind blowing that I'm living with my folks. So yeah, you know, we got that going for us. And 2021 has just started with a bang. It's been awesome, ringing in the new year with mom and dad on the couch, and we all fell asleep before midnight. So it's really, really, really exciting times in the Barry household. Seriously, though, Pastor, I can't thank you enough from the bottom of Emily and I's heart that you led us back up here today. I appreciate it, and I appreciate you. I'm super excited to preach this message, and he stole a little bit of my thunder, but if I was to say I'd give you an update, the biggest change from the last time I spoke with you until now is that we're expecting our first baby girl. Thank you. Thank you. Queen Esther, who is due May the 1st. So mom and baby are both good. Mom and baby are both healthy. We're super blessed. We're thankful for your prayers, and just ask that you would continue to keep Emily and Esther in your prayers as we embark on a new journey for us. So enough about us. Let's get down to it. If I could be honest with you for just one second, if you thought that the energy and the excitement that I brought the last time was something to go home and tell somebody about, I'm more fired up this time. I'm more excited for what I got right here for you guys today, January 3rd, 2020. If you thought last time was good, y'all better buckle up, because I'm coming with some heat today to let you guys go home with. The last time that we were here, the last time that I preached, we talked about desperation. How desperate were you to encounter God? Today, we're going to look at that God. We're going to look at who that God is that we were trying to encounter. So if you're taking notes, if you're at home on the couch, if you're writing down, the title of today's message is simply, Who is God? Who is God? Spoiler alert. Don't you guys love those? Like, I'll go ahead and give you the spoiler right here. I'll go ahead and give you the whole thing that I'm getting at. He's the God that exceeds the need. I said he's the God that exceeds the need. Man, I'm glad that we got that out of the way early. I'm glad that as soon as I got up here, now you guys can fully pay attention to everything that I say or that he says through me. You know what I mean? Like, now you don't have to be sitting there wondering, man, who is God? Like, the whole message, you're sitting there in the service and you're, what's the answer to the question? Look, he's the God that exceeds the need. Let's go straight to our first story in John chapter 6. John chapter 6, and we're going to start with verse 7. John chapter 6, verse 7. This is the one where Jesus feeds the 5,000. You guys remember that story. Jesus, there's a big group, 5,000 men. That means there's probably 5,000 women and then at least another 5,000 children. If you want to know what God thinks about your life, if you want to know what God thinks about your life, especially in this new year, right? It's a new year. We just closed the chapter on 2020. If you want to know what God thinks in this new year with new hopes, this new year has new dreams, this new year has new aspirations. If you want to know what God thinks about your life and your situation, just look at Jesus. What did Jesus do? What did he do? So, well, there was a great need. There was a need of 5,000 people to be fed. 5,000 men, plus all their wives, plus all their children, and they needed something to eat. Jesus didn't just meet the need, right? Jesus didn't just meet the need. Their mentality, their mindset, similar to our mindset. If we took all the money, if we get everything together, if we took all the money that we had, we could go and we could buy some food, but we would only have enough money to buy enough food so everybody might get a bite of food. Maybe. Philip puts it this way in verse 7. Philip says, it would take more than a half a year's wages, more than a half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each person to have one bite. Notice that that's how man thinks. That's how we think. But God, right? Don't be afraid to shout me down today. Y'all better wake up, whether you're at home or in here, but God. But there's always a but God. Jesus, the Son of God, God's Son, he didn't think little, right? Jesus never thought little. The Bible said that he blessed the bread, he blessed the fish, and it multiplied until they were all filled. Filled, not one bite, not still hungry, not, you know what, I'm on a keto, it's the fresh 30, until they were all filled. It said they were filled. Did you catch that word? Filled. I don't mean that they just ate enough to get by. They ate until they were filled. Have you ever eaten a meal until you were filled? Maybe a Thanksgiving dinner with some country ham. Maybe a Christmas dinner that you just ate. They ate until they were filled. Like, I can't take any more type of food filled. Like, oh man, grandma done stuck her foot into that one type of filled. Like, throw me another order of fried rice on the hibachi type of filled, but God, right? But God, here he goes again. After they were filled, he still wasn't finished. God still wasn't finished. He said, go and get the leftovers. Go and get the leftovers, because I didn't just meet the need. I didn't just fill up the tummies of thousands and thousands of thousands of people, but there are 12 baskets left over. I said there's 12 baskets left over because we serve a God that exceeds the need. That's why I'm here today. That's what I came to preach about today. That's the first message that I want you to hear in 2021. No, sorry. That's the first message that God wants to send you out of here with in 2021. Yesterday, Pastor called me and we were talking about the message and the sermon and was, is everything going good? Be here by XYZ. Get here at this time. You know, we'd love to da-da-da-da-da, all that. We're just going over our last things. And he said, can I pray for you before we get off here? Please. Please, thank you. And as he started to pray, I really felt the Lord speak to me, and he gave me a word for right now, right here, for 2021. The word that God spoke to me was more. More. More for 2021. More what? More fear? Anxiety? More depression? More heartache? More loss? More confusion? God said it can be more whatever you want it to be, right? So I'm here right now today claiming more breakthroughs. I'm claiming more healing. I'm claiming more revival. I'm claiming more faith. I'm claiming more awakening. I'm claiming more grace. I'm claiming more of God. We need more of God in 2021. Not more politics, not more money, more God. So who is God? What a timely word for this message that I was going to preach. What a timely word for this season that we're in. It fits so well. Pastor had no idea that this is what I was going to be preaching on. He had no idea that this is what God was speaking to me, but God did. But God knew. So who is God? He's the God that exceeds your every need. Come on, right? I want to build your faith that your God, the God that you came in here to worship today, he ain't no get by God. He isn't just a get by God. Your God is the God that exceeds the need. When he fed the 5,000 and after all had eaten and after all, I love the words, all were full. God doesn't want you unsatisfied. He wants you full. Come on, right? I said, God doesn't want you unsatisfied. He wants you full. They gathered up the baskets and the remaining food filled 12 baskets. Come on, church. He ain't no get by God. You might be saying, man, I hear you. I hear what you're saying, Pastor, but 2020 was awful. My 2020 was terrible. Can I give you a little good news? It's 2021, right? Today is January 2020. Am I preaching to myself? I mean, it's good enough for me. Is it good enough for you all? 2021. Anybody else in here picking up or online what I'm putting down? John 21:6. John chapter 21, verse 6, in another reference, says Jesus was on the seashore. You know how many times I practice saying seashore? I really don't know why that's such a tongue. I said, seashore, seashore, seashore. Jesus is on the seashore, right? 2021, I'm going to master seashore. So Jesus on the seashore, and the disciples had fished all night. They all night, and they caught nothing. John chapter 21, verse 6, he said, man, just throw your net on the other side of the boat. You'll find some. Duh. Right? Like, I'm sure the disciples only did one thing, and as the expert trained fishermen that they were, it never even crossed their mind in their wildest dream to just throw the net on the other side. There's no way that they had, I bet you they threw it on that side, this side, the back side, the front side, the flip side. He gave them instructions from the seashore. Throw your net on the other side. They threw it on the other side, and the nets were filled. There's that word again, filled, right? Why is that important? Because you could say, well, what's the difference from December 31st to January the 1st, right? I've done the exact same things in 2020 that I'm going to do in 2021. Why are you sitting up here telling me? It's that simple with Jesus. He just said, throw the nets on the other side. He didn't say, ask me about it. Let me give you a big in-depth. Throw the nets on the other side. 2021 will be different, okay? 2021 will be different. When they came to the shore, when they got to the seaside where Jesus was, there were other fish on the fire. Can you guys say other fish for me? Other fish. Man, I like them other fish. It's cool that they caught some fish, but I want to taste them other fish that Jesus has been cooking. Verse 9 reads, when they landed, they saw a fire on burning coals, and there were fish on it and some bread. Get a hold of that. Get a hold of that. Jesus didn't just fill the nets, right? Jesus didn't just fill the nets. He didn't just put so many fish in their boat that it was about to sink. He didn't just meet the need. He exceeds the need, right? So when they get out, when they have so many fish that they could barely carry them, he already had other fish that's cooking on the fire. Come on. And wouldn't you think, Lord, like, why didn't you take one of the fish that you just had them catch? Why wouldn't you just take one of the fish and prepare that they had already caught? And he's just letting you and me know that he doesn't just fill your net, he exceeds the need. And I got fish cooking on the fire right now. I want you to know that we have a God that is not only able to do what we need him to do, but he's able to do so much more. He's able to do, as Ephesians 3:20 says, exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond anything that we could ask or imagine. I want you right now to take a minute and put your hands together to clap like you believe that we serve a God who's worthy of praise. This is for him. He's worthy. He's holy. It all belongs to him. 2020's over. 2021 belongs to him. There's a great illustration of what I'm trying to hammer home to y'all in the Old Testament. I want you to see this. So if you would, it's found in the story of Naomi and Ruth. You can find this in Ruth chapter 1. In chapter 2, If you remember, because we're not going to read it all, there's a great famine in the land. Everybody's hungry. They'd been quarantining. They'd been, you get what I'm saying? Tough year. Really, really tough times that they were going through. They lost everything. They lost their husbands. They literally, their family was stripped of everything. So they go back to Naomi's homeland. They go back and they wanted to take advantage of a Hebrew custom. And it actually wasn't just a custom. It was a Hebrew law. Moses had said back in the day that during times of famine, if you were poor and if you didn't have anything to eat, if you didn't have any money, if you didn't, you would have the right to go to the fields and to scrape off of the leftovers. You could get the scraps. You could get the meager provisions that the law had provided for you. When the reapers were reaping, right? When the reapers were reaping, if they dropped anything, and if anything was left on the ground, the poor and the impoverished could have it. That's what they could live off of, right? Ruth, she goes into the field that day. She's going to get nothing but the leftovers. She's going to get nothing but the scraps. She's going to get nothing but what the law had provided for her. Remember, she's a Gentile. Like you, like me. She really wasn't even under the law. That small, meager, meek blessing that the law had provided, she wasn't even truly under that. She wasn't a Hebrew. She had no business even being in the field. But she was in the field, and she was some second-class nobody, widow of a not worthy of the full blessing Gentile. She's just crawling on her hands and on her knees. She's just looking for a little stalk of cabbage there, and she finds a little piece of food over here, and then back over there, there's a small little piece of wheat that she finds, and she probably had a little tiny bowl that was probably this big, and maybe, just maybe at the end of the day, just maybe, she would have had enough food to halfway fill up this extremely little bowl, and then she could take it home. Because I'm going to tell you why I believe that that's how it was like, right? You have to understand that the reapers, they were sure-handed, right? The reapers were sure-handed. The scripture says they were sure-handed. They were professional reapers. And so can you imagine that these professional reapers, they had it down. They were the best of the best. That's why Boaz would have hired them. They were the best at what they did. They knew how to do it. They knew how to make sure nothing was left over. They knew how to make sure that they got every morsel. So they said to themselves, we can't drop nothing. Our jobs depend on it. That old peasant, if we drop it, they're going to get to pick it up. They're going to get to keep it. I ain't dropping nothing. I'm dropping nothing. And then the owner of the field, he drives up. Boaz, right? Boaz come, a lot of swag, probably looks a lot like me. Drip was crazy. Head toe, I mean, just fresh to death. He comes riding up. He sees this pretty girl, Ruth. Ruth's down on her knees, and she's gathering pitiful, meager things, just the scraps. Just enough to scrape by, just the little scraps, just the little things, just enough. And when he saw Ruth, come on, when he saw Ruth, he said something to his servants that were ridiculous in their minds. The boss, the man, the dude comes up and he says, drop some handfuls on purpose. What do you want us to do, boss? Drop some handfuls on purpose. In the middle of a pandemic, in the middle of a famine, in the middle of a, just get butterfingers. Get sloppy. Do sloppy work. I mean, drop it on purpose. And poor Ruth, she didn't know what was going on. She didn't know what had happened, but he made sure to tell his guys, do not tell her what you're doing. I don't want her feeling embarrassed. I don't want her feeling ashamed. I don't want her to know what you're doing. I don't want her to be humiliated. I don't want her feeling bad. I want her to get handfuls on purpose and just act like it's an accident. I want you to fake it. So they get sloppy. So I could just see it. I can just see them. You have to understand. Come on. You have to understand that the law said you could only have a little bit. The law said you could only have a little bit, and then here comes grace. Mm. Here comes grace. And when grace sees a Gentile in a Hebrew field, grace says, I'm not just going to save you. Grace says, I'm not just going to give you life. Grace says, I'm not just going to give you enough to get by. I'm going to make sure you have more than enough. I'm going to exceed your every need. And all of a sudden, it gets so crazy that they're dropping more wheat than they're even picking up. Come on. They're dropping more than they're picking up. Ruth 2, verse 17 says, Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. From morning until evening, then she threshed the barley she had gathered, and it amounted to about an ephah. Now, I didn't have to look it up, because I already know all that stuff. But for you and you at home, I looked up what an ephah was. So I'll tell you, since I already knew. An ephah is 30 pounds. 13 kilograms, 30 pounds, they're dropping more than they're picking up. She's getting overloaded. Ruth's like, these are the sloppiest workers I've ever seen in my whole life. These dudes are reapers. These are the guys. Oh my God. She starts getting sacks upon sacks and filling up sacks of food. Boaz says, just drop an extra one. Boaz says, drop an extra one on her. Give her no reason. The law says the only thing coming to her is what is dropped by accident. But I want you to understand. Get ready for this. I want you to understand that we have a heavenly Boaz. We have a heavenly Boaz under the new covenant that he didn't just provide for us. See, the law says that you only get this much, but enough to get by. Through the shed of blood and of animals. That was the old covenant, right? It won't remove your sin. Don't get it twisted. It would just roll your sin over. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't remove your sin. It just rolled your sin over to the next day of atonement. And then the next year with the next day of atonement. And then the next year, you better latch on to this. You better latch on to this. That it could never take sin away. It just rolled it over. But here comes our heavenly Boaz, Jesus Christ, the I am that I am. He says, I'm going to bleed for you. I'm going to die for you. We're not under the old covenant of Moses. We're under a new and better covenant. And then all of a sudden, that old covenant that just met our needs, the new covenant exceeds the need. If the blood of bulls and goats would work and it would sanctify them, how much more? Then how much more would the blood, the writer says, how much more would the blood of Jesus Christ purge your conscience of dead works? To serve the living God. You see, the old covenant was just enough to get by. The old covenant was just enough to roll their sins over to the next year. We don't just get our sins forgiven. He exceeds our need. And then he says, I'll purge your consciousness. Man, I'll make sure that you don't have to walk around in condemnation. I'll make sure that you don't have to walk around in shame. I'll make sure that you don't have to walk around with guilt. And not only will I do that, I'll bless your coming in and I'll bless your going out. I'll bless you in the city and I'll bless you in the field. Oh, and by my stripes, you are healed. And oh, by the way, I'll make a covenant with you and I'll make a covenant with your family that I'll bless you now. I'll bless you then. Come on, church. Jesus Christ, you shall be saved for generation after generation after generation. This blessing, it's not just enough. I'm not just saved. It's more than enough. You have to understand that we have a better covenant and a God that exceeds our every need. In Moses' covenant, when you would come to church, when you would come to the tabernacle, you had to bring a gift. You had to bring a sacrifice. If you were extremely wealthy, you'd bring an ox. If you were middle income, if you were middle class, you'd bring a lamb. If you were poor, you still needed to bring a sacrifice, and you would bring a dove. It wasn't equal giving. It was equal sacrifice, right? It wasn't equal giving. That's why the tithe is so powerful, right? If you made $100,000 this week, you'd bring $10,000. If you made $10,000, you'd bring $1,000. If you made $100, you'd bring $10. And God said that if they honor me with what they had been given, I will treat them all exactly the same. It's never been equal giving. It's equal sacrifice. I want you to see it. I want you to picture it. So they'd come in to church like we're doing today, and they'd come with their gifts, they'd come with their animals, and they'd give it to the high priest. And it would be slain, and then it would be offered as a sacrifice. And the meat would be set aside, and it would be used for other things, and they couldn't eat it. So they came with their hands full, but they would leave with their hands empty, right? So you come with something, literally you would come with something, but you'd go home with nothing, okay? So in other words, if you were going to get a blessing in the old covenant, if you were going to get blessed in the old covenant, you better do it while you're in church, because you're going home empty-handed, right? So in Moses' covenant, if you needed to get that blessing, you better get it while you're inside this building, because, but God. Let me get a but God. But God sends David. But God sends David. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 2. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 2. But God sends David. Verse 2, he and all of his men went to Bela in Judah to bring up there the ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord Almighty, who is enthroned between the cherubim on the ark. David is bringing the ark of the covenant back, and he set it up on Mount Zion, right? We remember that story. He's bringing the covenant back, and he sets it up on Mount Zion. He said, yo, roll the curtains up. Roll the curtains up. We're going to do something different. We're going to have a different kind of worship. You guys got worship night coming on Friday. David said, we're going to do something different this time. And the people, they can come. They can bring the exact same type of offerings that they've been bringing and that they've been coming with. And they did. So they brought the ox. They brought the lamb. They brought the dove. He said, bring the same offerings. Let all the families gather. Let everybody get around here. Let all, whoever comes, let them all get around. Let them come and gather around the Ark of the Covenant and offer up their sacrifices. But when they did, when they were about to leave, David did something different. He does something that had never been done. It was something that had never been seen before. David said, before you leave, I want you to do something. He said, take home with you first a cake of bread. Second, take home with you a good piece of flesh or a good piece of meat. And thirdly, take home with you a flagon or a container of wine. Do you know what David's doing? Do you know what David's trying to do with his people? He's saying that you came for generations. that you came for year after year after year after year. You came with your hands full, but then you went back home and you left and you were empty. You came with gifts, but you left empty-handed. You went home empty. If you're going to get a blessing, you better get blessed at church because you couldn't take it back home with you. But God. But we serve a God that exceeds the need. And David gets this revelation. And David said, "When I don't want you to just come to church and just get blessed in church. I don't want you to just come and get blessed in church and go home. I want you to take it home with you. I want you to take it home with you. Take home the bread, which represents the word of God. Take home a good piece of meat, which represents the Savior who was offered to set you free. And take home a little container of wine, which represents the spirit of joy deep down in your soul." And he said, don't just have it in church, but take it home with you when you go home, because you have a God that exceeds your need. See, in Moses' tabernacle, you left the sacrifice and then you went home empty-handed. But in David's tabernacle, you got something to take back with you after you have given. In Acts chapter 15 and 16, there's a prophecy. And it says, "I will restore the tabernacle of David." Right? Verse 16, "In this I will return and rebuild David's fallen tent. Its ruins I will rebuild and I will restore it." He's going to rebuild David's tabernacle. I'm going to give you something so that you can take home. I'm going to give you something to go back home with, and it will exceed your need. We don't just come to church and we do church and we say our prayer and then it's over. But the real thing that Jesus wants us to do, Jesus wants you to leave here today with more Jesus. Jesus wants to give you something to take home that's more Jesus. He wants you to take it back to your life. He wants you to go to work with it. He wants you to start your Monday with Him. He wants to give you more. I'm trying to tell you that we gotta quit being religious. We gotta quit playing church. We're supposed to come here and not leave empty-handed and go right back to whatever you've been dealing with this whole time. You're able to come and say, "I'm not alone." You're able to come and say, "I got the blood." You can say, "I've got the name. I've got the word. I've got what I need. And I am an overcomer. I am. I have a God that exceeds my needs." Amen? It's some good stuff. You guys still with me? So rebuke that old come with something and leave with nothing mentality. That ain't it. If you felt like that in 2020, your 2021 will be different. I said it will be different. Not it can be different, but it will be different. Now in 2 Kings chapter 5, I love the story of Naaman. 2 Kings chapter 5. Talk about Naaman. I love the story how his maid, she's a little Hebrew girl. She probably was enslaved after one of his conquerors of Israel, a battle that he fought in Israel, and he conquered and he took a servant girl back with her. And so one day she sees him dying of leprosy and she says to him, "I wish you would just go down to Samaria. I wish you would just go see this prophet there that could heal you. He's a mighty man of God." And in desperation, he reluctantly said, "All right, I'll go check it out. I'll go see what it's about. I've tried everything else." History records that Samaria from Syria was 120 miles away. 120. So he journeyed on a horse. He got on the back of a camel. He rode on whatever it was that he was riding for 120 miles. When he got there, he thought, surely, I mean, this prophet, this man of God, he's going to make a big deal when I get there. I mean, when I show up, I'm a general. I mean, I'm a wealthy man. I'm a big shot. I'm powerful. I'm famous. But he was a leper. Do you remember that video that I showed you the last time I was here of that clip in Ben-Hur? He was a leper. He was less than. So when the prophet gets there and when he saws him and sees him and there's nobody. There's nobody that greets him. Nobody welcomed him. He found a very antisocial prophet. He must have been quarantining. Must have been masked up 6 feet away and couldn't see him, couldn't come out. His lips curled up over his chin. He could care less. This is Elisha that we're talking about. He don't care about no Naaman. I could see him right now sitting in his rocking chair that he got at Cracker Barrel, just rocking back and forth, sitting on his front porch. Oh, who'd you say came to see me today? Naaman, that general? Okay, cool. Here comes this powerful, rich, wealthy man. He's got all of the entourage with him, everything. Naaman comes pulling up. He's not impressed at all. He says, so I came 120 miles. Like, what do y'all want me to do? What do I got to do to get healed? I'm just like, I got leprosy. They said you could do something about it. What do I got to do? The prophet doesn't even acknowledge him. Elisha doesn't even acknowledge him. He told his servant, you go tell him for me. I got this glass of lemonade that I'm working on. You go tell him for me to go down to the Jordan River. Go tell Naaman and his entourage. Go down to which the Jordan River from where they were was another 30 miles. So, oh, by the way, that adds up. I'm not amazing at math, but 120 plus 30, 150 miles that he traveled and still doesn't get to see this mighty man of God. Tell him to dip in the water 7 times. Tell him to do 7 ducks. 7 ducks in the pond. So that's 7 ducks in the pond for all you waterfowl hunters out there. 7 ducks in the pond. If he'll duck 7 times in the pond, he'll be healed. If he'll duck... So look at what Naaman says. Let him tell it better than myself. Look at what Naaman says in verse 11. But Naaman went away angry. Naaman went away and he said, I thought that he would surely come out and that he'd stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot, and cure me of my leprosy. Can I just pause a minute? Can you put yourself in those shoes? How many times have we said, I just want God to wave his hand over me. I want Pastor to just wave his hand and all my troubles go away. I got this problem I'm dealing with, and I want God to fix it exactly how I want him to fix it, exactly when I need him to fix it. But you have to trust and obey. There's no other way. Come on, go old school on you too. I ain't just new school, I go old school on you too. This man, when he hears that, he gets all fired up. He gets all upset. He goes off down in this angry rage. Suddenly somebody finally said to him, would you please just do what he told you to do? You've come 150 miles. Would you just do what he told? Why not? Why not? And he agrees, but he fussed about it all the way down to the Jordan River. They're cleaner rivers. They're better rivers. I don't want to go to that Hebrew river. Why do I got to go down there? I don't even like that river. It's a nasty river. It's an unpopular river. But he went down and he gets in the river. And when he came up, come on, when he comes up that 7th time, he didn't just get healed. God didn't just meet his need. The Bible says when he came up, his skin was that of a newborn baby. Come on. Verse 14 says, so he went down, dipped himself in the river 7 times as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. How many of you today need things to be restored in 2021? I said, how many of you today need things to be restored in 2021? I can see him in my mind, and I think that he loved that river. And I'm about to prove it to you scripturally. But I think he loved the river. That river that he hated. The river that he mocked. The river that he despised. Now, when he comes up the seventh time, he's splashing. He's having a party in the river. I don't think they could get him out of the water. I don't think they could get him out of the water. I think he was weeping and crying and splashing and crying and laughing and praising and laughing and praising God and saying, oh my God, I can go back to my life. I can go back to my wife again. I can go back and see and hug my children. I can have life. I can actually enjoy myself. I got my life back. He's splashing around and something comes to him. He gets a good idea. He gets an idea and he says, you know what? His servants had to remind him, bro, we got to get out of the water. You're in a river. You're acting crazy. We got to go home. You look like a baby now. Like, get up out the water. He gets this good idea. He said, I do have to go back to Syria. But in Syria, they worship this idol called Ramon. Right? So, I mean, I do have to go back. I do have to go home. But I like this so much. Y'all get up in here. Y'all get a shovel. Y'all come help me. And he digs mud up from the riverbanks. He digs mud. And the Bible says that he put so much mud into bags that it was 2 mule loads from the Jordan River. 2 mule loads of mud from that river that he despised. He's got so much of that mud, right? Come on. God doesn't just heal your body and meet your needs. Watch him now. Watch what he does. He doesn't just want you to have church in the river. He wants you to go home with something. Come on. And so he exceeds the need. Look at verse 17. Naaman asked, please let me, your servant, be given as much earth as a pair of mules can carry, for your servant will never again make burnt offerings and sacrifices to any other god but the Lord. Can you see him and his crew packing 2 mules full of mud from that river? He gets back and the Bible says, Naaman says, I'm going to go back up into that temple of Ramon. I mean, I'm going to go back up there where they worship their God. But he said, I'm going to take some of this mud. I'm going to take some of this holy ground and I'm going to throw it down there. Come on. I'm going to take this holy ground from Israel. I'm going to throw it on the ground. I'm going to throw that mud there and I'm going to stand on that mud from the river of the God that healed me from my leprosy. I'm going to raise my hands. I'm going to give my praise. I'm going to worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They can worship all the devils that they want to. But because I'm here, this is some holy ground. Because I'm here, he doesn't just meet my needs here. He didn't just meet his needs in the river. He doesn't just meet your needs at church. He says, take some home with you. He says, take it back to Syria. Take some to your office. Take some back to your friends. I don't care where you are. I genuinely don't. I don't care what hostile environment that you're in. I don't care that if you are literally the only person on campus living for God. I don't care if you're the only person in your family serving God. Do you know that has so much grace that he says, if I can just get one, God says, if I can just get one person that will take and make this place holy ground, one, that's all he needs. And my ground will overtake the devil's ground. My ground will overtake the enemy's ground. Whose report will you believe? Because God's report says, I am healed. God's report says victory. Whose report will you believe? I need somebody to give God a shout of praise. I need to feel that y'all know that that's the God that you serve. Praise God. Hallelujah. He exceeds the need. The last story that we'll look at today, it can be found in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 3. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 3. I might need a water hose to drink out of by the time I get done. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 3. Elisha said, "Go around. Ask your neighbors for empty jars. Ask all of them. Don't just ask for a few." When he told the widow woman, "Go and get jars, go and borrow vessels, go and start pouring the little bit of ounce of oil that you have," he told her that it wouldn't run out. And it didn't run out. And in fact, it filled every single vessel that she had. Verse 6 says, when all the jars were full. How many jars? All of them. Thank you. She said to her son, "Bring me another one. Go give me another jar. Let's keep doing this thing." But he replied, "There is not a jar left." Then and only then did the oil stop flowing. Wow. Do you see what God did? Do you see what he's telling us today, January the 3rd, 2021? It says, then the oil stopped flowing. What does that mean? In Eminence translations, it means if there was another jar, there was going to be some more oil. If she had another jar, they'd fill it up with more oil. It's never, ever about the amount of oil. There's always enough oil. Matter of fact, there's enough oil to exceed your every need. How many vessels do we have in here today that need to be filled with oil in 2021? I know how many I have that I need to be filled for my life. How many vessels do you know that you need God to do what only He can do? The 2020 put you on the mat. The 2020 knocked you down. The 2020 tapped you out. It tapped your finances. It trapped your mindset. It tapped everything out. How many of you have empty vessels that only God can fill in 2021? Can I give you a good word? No matter how many vessels you bring Him, He exceeds the need. No matter how many vessels you bring Him, He exceeds the need. And then. I like "but God," and I like "and then." I like both of them. Equally the same. And then. Right? We've already talked about "but God." Something bad happens, "but God." And then makes it seem like it's a little bit more. Like, and then hits me like it's some leftovers. Not only were you fed and you're full, there's 12 baskets for you to take home, right? And then God said through the prophet, "Sell what you have and pay your debt." Everybody say, "Pay your debt." God can remove debt from your life. God can help you with restitution. God can remove debt from your life, but He doesn't stop there. Come on. I mean, that would have been enough, because if you remember in this story, her sons are being enslaved from debt that their dead father could no longer pay. Verse 1 says, "Now his creditors are coming to take away my two boys as his slaves." And the next generation, was about to be taken away. But God gave her a miracle. But God said, "Pay your debt and live on the rest. Pay your debt and live on the rest. Just enjoy the rest of your life. Just enjoy the rest of your life, because I'm going to not only meet your need of this small debt, I will exceed it. I know you got a little need, but that little need isn't big enough for me. I am the I am. I have to do press down." God says to us, He says, if I'm going to do it, if I'm really going to do it, I have to do it like it says in Luke 6:38. "Press down, shaken together, running over, it shall be given unto you. So live on the rest." He exceeds the need. I'd like to read you a quick excerpt of a story from Calvin Clark's The Incomparable Christ. before I really fire y'all up and let you go. So this is a little appetizer before I give you your surf and turf. So enjoy this appetizer, but you better be ready for what I'm going to hit you with next. The incomparable Christ. So again, don't forget that our prompt and our title of the message, who is God? Who is this God that we come to worship? Who is this God that we're in church talking about? The incomparable Christ. More than 1,900 years ago, there was a man born contrary to the laws of life. This man lived in poverty and obscurity. He didn't travel extensively. Only once did he even cross the boundary of the country that he lived in. He possessed neither wealth nor influence, and his relatives were inconspicuous and uninfluential. They had neither training nor education. In infancy, he startled the king, and in childhood, he puzzled doctors. In manhood, he ruled the course of nature, walking on billows as if it were pavement and hushing the sea to sleep. He healed the multitude without medicine, and he made no charge for his service. He never wrote a book, yet all the libraries of our country could not hold the books that have been written about him. He never wrote a song, yet he has furnished the theme for more songs than all the songwriters combined. He never founded a college, yet all the schools put together could not boast having as many students. He never practiced medicine, yet he has healed more broken hearts than all the doctors far and near. He never marshaled an army, drafted a soldier, or fired a gun, yet no leader has ever made more volunteers who under his orders have made more rebels stack arms and surrender without firing a single shot. Every seventh day, the wheels of commerce cease. They're turning, and multitudes wind their way to worshiping assemblies to pay homage and respect to him. The names of the past proud statement of Greece and Rome have come and gone, but this name of this man abounds more and more. Although time has spread more than 1,900 years between the people of this generation and the scene of his crucifixion, he still lives. Herod could not kill him. Satan could not seduce him. Death could not destroy him, and the grave could not hold him. He stands forth today upon the highest pinnacle of heavenly glory, proclaimed of God, acknowledged by angels, adorned by saints, and feared by devils as the living, personal Christ, our Lord and Savior. He exceeds the need. He exceeds the need. I told you that was the appetizer. In case you forgot, who is God? In case you just need a little reminder at the beginning of 2021, if you need some encouragement about who your God is, even after all this message, everything we've talked about, if you're still sitting in here, or if you're sitting at home and you're still asking yourself, who is this God? He's the advocate. He's the almighty. He's the ancient of days. He's the begotten. He's the begotten. He's the beloved of God. He's the chief shepherd. He's the counselor. He's the consolation of Israel. He's the day spring. He's the day star. He's the desire of all nation. He's the elect. He's from everlasting to everlasting. He's the eternal one. He's the firstborn. He's the first fruits. He's the friend of all sinners. He's the God with us. He's the great teacher. He's the great high priest. He's the head of the church. He's the great teacher. He's the hope of glory. He's the I am that I am. He's the judge of the living, and he's the judge of the dead. He's the King of kings. He's the light. He's the life. He's the living stone. He's the Lord of lords. He's the mediator. He's the man of sorrows. He's the good thing that came out of Nazareth. He's the overcoming lamb. He's the omnipotent God. He's the omnipresent God. He's the omnibenevolent God. He's the Passover. He's the peace. He's the Prince of God. He's the quintessential Savior. He's the Rabbi. He's the Redeemer. And he's my ransom. That's who he is. He's the Star of Jacob. He's the Son of Man. He's the Son of God. He's the true vine. He's the teacher. He's the true life. He's the unspeakable gift of God. He's our victor. He's the very voice of God. He's the Christ. He's the way. He's the word. He's the wonderful. He's extremely gracious. He's Yahweh and he's Yeshua. He's the Alpha and he's the Omega. He's the beginning and he's the end. He's the husband to the widow and he's an orphan to the father. He's the bright and the morning star. He's the lily of the valley. He's the rose of Sharon. He's the honey in the rock. He's the staff of life. He's the pearl of great price. He's the rock in the weary land. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Savior of my soul. He's Adam's creator. He's Eve's promised seed. And he's Abel's sacrifice. He's Enoch's faithful companion. He's Methuselah's old age. He's Noah's ark and rainbow. He's Abraham's ram in the bush. He's Isaac's substitute and well. And he's Jacob's ladder. He's Joseph's favor. He's Moses' staff. He's Aaron's rod that budded. He's the Israelites' manna and quail. He's Joshua's courage. He's Caleb's allotment. He's Gideon's fleece. He's Samson's strength. He's Ruth's harvest. He's Samuel's horn of oil. He's David's slingshot. He's Deborah's song. He's Solomon's wisdom. He's Elijah's mantle and the raven. He's Elisha's double portion. He's Naaman's new skin. He's Jeremiah's righteous branch and he's Isaiah's righteousness. He's Ezekiel's man of fire and he's Daniel's vision. He exceeds the need. He's Hosea's faithful husband. He's Esther's timing. He's Job's restorer of the wasted year. He's Hezekiah's healing. He's Josiah's reformer. He's Jonah's leafy plant. He's Malachi's day star from on high. He's Matthew's Messiah. He's Luke's miracle worker. He's Luke's son of man, and he's John's son of God. He's Peter's shadow, the rock, and the keys to the kingdom. He's Paul's handkerchief, potter, and the power over the clay. In Revelation, he was the one who went down to hell, defeated death, and is alive. He sits over the throne of hell. He's above everything, so you can't lift him up. And he's beneath everything, so you can't put him down. He's inside everything, so you can't keep him out. And he's outside everything, so you can't put him out. He's Jehovah Ra, my shepherd. He's Jehovah Shammah, our fellowship. He's Jehovah Shalom, our peace. He's Jehovah Nissi, our conqueror. He's Jehovah Sidkenu, my righteousness. He's Jehovah Rapha, my healer. He's Jehovah Jireh, my provider. And you got something today to take home with you. And his name is Jesus Christ. That's who God is. You get to take him home. He wants you to know that in that name, the name of Jesus, he exceeds your every need. Give God some praise today.
Oh, he deserves our praise, folks. Let's give it to him. Let's give it to him. Oh, thank you, Father. You're so worthy. You really are all that and more, Lord God. You're all that and more. Thank you, Lord. Oh, let's just keep standing. Let's just have some time of worship and praise right now. Oh, Father, you're all that and more. Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Ed, for bringing that word. Lord, so I want you to come up with that prayer you have on your heart. Oh, Father, I'm just so touched on who you are. Who is Jesus? There's so many words you can try to reveal who he is in the English language, the human language isn't enough. Lord God, by your Holy Spirit, reveal who Jesus is right now to each one of us and those watching us, that he is all that and more. He is the one that knows where you're at. And though you feel all alone or you feel stuck, God, by his Spirit, knows exactly where you're at. He knows you. He is, and by his name, he gives you hope and power right now for a better future, that you can experience the power of God in your life right now. If you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in this room or online, this is the moment for you to say, I want to know that guy he was talking about, that there's not enough words to capture how amazing and marvelous Jesus is. You can know him. You can have relationship with him. I'm going to ask those on the altar ministry teams to go ahead and come on down here and be available for prayer. We're here to receive prayer from you, to have pray with you about anything in your life. But don't leave this room. Don't just get off of that couch if this is your day to give your heart to Jesus Christ. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to just say a prayer of salvation that you can follow with me. Y'all just say it with me out loud, okay? Dear Lord Jesus, I want to get to know you. I want to have a relationship with you. Save me now. Coming into my heart now. I believe that you died on the cross. And I believe you rose from the grave to save and deliver me. I want to serve you all the days of my life. Come into me. And I'm yours today, and you're mine. We also have a prayer line, a phone line on that. Those who are watching, you can call that phone line over the next 30 minutes this morning on Sunday morning and have someone pray with you in person. There could be something going on at home or at work, and you need someone to pray with you. We'll do that online. We'll do that in person.